Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Benetti. Welcome to Second Sight NYC. It's Wednesday, November 10th. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with my co-host, psychic medium Chris George. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, Steph?
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't wait for this show. I think after last week talking about that haunted house that we had gone to, it was just leading up to this show, and I'm very excited to talk about what happened.
Sure, we have lots of input there. I just want to mention we have so many emails and so many callers. We can't always get to the calls. You could always contact us on Blog Talk Radio or Facebook under Sex Site Para, under my name, Stephanie Benetti, or Chris George Cirillo. We always appreciate all our listeners. I'd like to thank, from our last show, Marilyn Martin. She was our guest last week. She was an expert in space clearing and feng shui and whatnot, which is totally applicable to our show.
And ironically, she made reference to the house that we're going to about a specific part of the house that we needed to check out the most. And you know what? When we got to the house and we actually checked out what she was saying, she was 100% right.
Yeah, she had such input to that. And we didn't even know it at the time until later, but she was totally correct, actually.
Right.
So we have a fantastic agenda tonight. We have email readings and various other readings.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
we'll do
a phone reading or two.
Right. So we'll talk about the house we visited on October 29th. We were there like after 11 p.m. at night, and then we also revisited that house for an exorcism
on
November 8th.
2 days ago.
November 8th. And in the interim, I just want to mention you did a psychic fair at the Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
can
that
you
went.
Speak of it?
Yeah, sure. That went really great. It was the first time I was a headline psychic. There was 13 or 14 of us there, and I was the headliner. And it went really well. It was for a great cause. It was for the Women's Association on Staten Island. It was just a great night. They took my picture. It was in the paper. And, I mean, there's nothing bad I can say about the night. It ran beautifully, and it was a good night.
So I'd like to get to an email of yours.
Okay, yeah. I could do an email reading from, hold on a second, let's see what we're going to do first. I have a couple of them here. How about I do Patrizia? She actually got in contact with us on our website, www.secondsightnyc.webs.com, and she just wanted a reading, and it was about her husband who had left 6 years ago, and she wanted to know if I had any insight on it, and this is what I came up with, Patrizia. My first instinct tells me that there's no chance of a reconnection with your ex. 6 years is a really long time to be apart, but a reading isn't about my instinct. It's about what I get psychically, and I really think you're going to be a little bit shocked by what I'm going to say. I actually believe you both are going to get back together. I feel 2 to 3 years before this happens, but it's going to happen. Don't push it at all. Let it happen naturally, and I think you're going to find them to be much more mature this time around. Very important. I think that was a big problem in your relationship. I think mature wasn't part of his makeup 6 years ago. But people can change, and Patrizia, you're about to go through a subtle transformation. However, don't try to hurry it along or dramatize it, but instead let it just develop at its own pace. Don't be surprised when you receive help from an unexpected source. I don't know who that source is going to be, but I have a feeling it's going to be something to do with his side of the family. So keep that in mind. During this process you're going through, be emotionally contained so that you don't get burned out or consumed by the changes. Very important for you. Please listen to those words that I said. Right now your life is in a stale and routine, you know, your life is a little stale and routine, and you need to get unstuck. You're going through some life changes that will require much of your energy. I feel that you're feeling a bit overwhelmed emotionally and need to ground yourself. You should try meditating for grounding yourself, and better days are ahead for you, Patrizia. So don't worry, you got better days ahead. I'm not even worried about it. That's my first reading.
Okay. So let's talk about the house we visited. Let's recap last week, and then we can carry on with.
Okay.
So just give me a little synopsis.
What happened was we were called by Jason and Andrea. They were having a problem in their house, and they asked us to go and check it out. So when we got there, if you remember, I was saying I was a little reluctant to what they were saying because, you know, they had a little history of some light drug use, and you know, you always got to be wary. They wound up being really, really good people, though. And at first, when we walked into the house, I just got a feeling that there was negative spirit, but nothing so bad, you know?
I agree with you, and I was there as well.
Right. And if you remember correctly, you were getting a little bit dizzy in the house. The energy of the house was really affecting you, and you kept having to go outside to control yourself, basically, to ground
yourself.
Well,
get some air. And...
Yeah. So, you know, as we're investigating the house, I still was not getting that heavy, bad energy feeling. You know what I mean, Steph? When you know that it's negative, but it's just not so bad. So I was thinking, I was saying, you know, maybe it's just paranoia on their part, which could be. But we continued to investigate, and we had some infrared cameras going. And on the infrared cameras, there were orbs and spirits all over the place.
Actually, I had never quite seen anything like it. And
it blew us all away.
Mesmerizing that it wasn't, even if someone attributed it to, like, dust particles or whatever, there were circles of light coming to you in figure eights, going past you. I mean, it was not something that
It was like it was performing for us.
It was not something that you would consider a dust particle that just flies by and whatever. These things had life,
right?
For that matter,
they had life. And actually, we have a video on our website. So I mean, you could actually go to the website,
yes,
www.secondsightnyc.webs.com, and you could actually see the video.
Yeah, another video tab.
Now, mind you, the video you're going to see isn't as good as what we were seeing. Because it's just not, but it's still very impressive, and you guys should check it out. It's pretty awesome. And so anyway, we're watching these orbs fly around this room. I mean, there were hundreds of them, not one or two. It was just like, it was crazy. And now Stephanie was to my left, and I was like to her right, but kind of like in back of her. And we were watching the monitor, and we were in the bedroom watching this monitor now. And I tell her, I said, Stephanie, I'm starting to get a really bad feeling. All of a sudden, this negative, angry energy came over me. And I said, Stephanie, I'm getting a really bad feeling. She ignored me. I said, Steph, listen to me. I'm getting a bad feeling. Again, she ignored me.
I wouldn't say I ignored
you. Well,
I listened to you, but I chose to.
The first two times you didn't even acknowledge that I was saying it.
I was mesmerized by the
video. Right.
Videos.
The third time I said, Steph, listen to me. I'm getting a really bad feeling. Something's going to happen. All of a sudden, out of my right eye from the corner, I see something coming from the next bedroom towards me. I look to my right, and I see the spirit of a man, I would say in his 40s, running at Stephanie with a machete in his hands. I know, you know, people listening to say, well, this guy must be crazy. But you know what? You guys can't see what I could see. My eyes see things that other eyes can't see. I mean, this is what I do for a living. It's what I'm known for. So I see this spirit running at Stephanie with this machete, and I'm not gonna say I screamed. I didn't scream.
All right, we went through already the whole screamer aspect.
Yeah, it wasn't the scream.
Well,
it was,
you yelled in my ear. You were surprised.
I was
so
surprised.
Was I.
Right. So, and as the spirit was about to hit Stephanie, I grab her. As I grab her, the spirit goes through her. And maybe, Stephanie, you could say what you had felt at that moment.
I felt like a possible, like, electrocution kind of feeling. It went through my bones.
Right, my whole body tightened up.
I was so surprised, and I didn't know what was to come or how I felt, or I didn't expect it.
Right.
And then, yes, I got really stunned, yelled, and ran out of the room. That's for sure.
That was kind of like a bone-crawling yell that you gave, I must say.
If you want to call it like that.
Nah, she did yell, but what's interesting is I really believe that if I didn't grab her, now, instinctually, I grabbed her, and I believe that I grounded her at that moment, and the force of that energy that came at her was so strong and so intense that if I didn't ground her, I think she would have gone flying, and what's interesting to note is that about 3 feet from where we were was a window. We were on the second floor. And I just had a vision of her going out that window, and God knows what could have happened. It was very scary. So she ran out of the room, and then I started getting psychically that the spirit was actually testing me. Because if I would have just let that spirit attack Stephanie and kind of like turned my back on it or ran like a little girl, whatever you want to say, that it would have known that I was no threat to it to eventually go into the home and do an exorcism. I guess I passed that test because, you know, he kind of really didn't show himself all that much after that. And then we went back on the Monday and we did the exorcism. But that was pretty amazing.
Well, there was that, and there was a whole slew of other things that had occurred that evening. Like I personally captured so many fantastic photos.
Oh my God!
There was the orb photos over the portal, big red.
We should talk about that.
I will. I'm trying to. And there were so many other odd photos that I took that night, which are on the website, and you could always check those out. I believe they're under just investigation 10, what was that, the date, like 10/29.
Yeah.
You could always look under the website, secondsightnyc.webs.com. You could always check them out there, but there were so many photos that we've taken, and there's also the infrared video clip that's there as well.
Right.
And we also have the EVPs.
Oh, we're going to play a couple of them.
And we will play a couple of them.
That night, the people on the house wanted to know where these spirits are coming in from. So I started really concentrating to try and find where the portal in the home was. And I pinpointed where it was, and you took a picture. And, oh, my God. I mean, for me to explain the picture, it would be pretty much useless. You guys need to go to the website and see it. There's an orb. It has to be 3 feet by 3 feet, or maybe even bigger.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's tremendous.
Absolutely tremendous. And it's red, exactly where I was telling them where the portal was. When I saw this picture, I mean, you look at it from my point of view. I'm saying, okay, here's the portal. And then Stephanie, you know, doing her best spirit photography, starts snapping shots and gets this picture that, I mean, it's just mind-blowing to see. And anybody who doesn't believe and then they look at this picture, I can't see how you can't believe. It's just mesmerizing. It blew me away.
I agree. I mean, even myself, and I took the photo. I just like to just put this in perspective for the evening. We're going to take another caller or a caller tonight,
right,
and then we're going to go back to this subject. We actually have the homeowners of this
right
on the line, as well as people who participated in this evening. So this is going to be an interesting chat amongst many people to discuss what happened that night. So let's just take this.
I just want to add one more thing before we take the phone call. The people in the chat room, if you have any questions pertaining to exorcism or to what happened that night, you know, you could write something on the chat wall, and if I get a chance, I'll address it.
So let's just take a caller. Hi, I'd like to take a caller.
Hi, my name is Marie.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Chris and Stephanie?
Oh, we're
Hi.
Doing great.
I'm fantastic.
You're
That's
looking
awesome.
Good,
Steph. Oh, thank you. Okay, so Marie, what can we do for you? Talk to us.
Hi. Well, I'm talking about my relationship with James.
Okay.
My husband, James.
Okay, you guys are split right now?
Yeah, we're having marital issues, and I'm
okay.
calling for some insight.
First of all, let me just tell you what I'm getting right off the bat. I really believe he's being completely controlled and manipulated. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. I think he's very weak-minded at this point in his life, and he's very easily swayed. And I think a lot of it has to do with drugs. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. He has a history of drug abuse in the past.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that I really feel like he wants to come home. I think, but he feels like he's very stuck. I think he feels like he's obligated to somebody other than you, unfortunately. And I also think he's very ashamed of the things that he's done. I think he's a real proud guy, but he's forgotten who he is. He's kind of like lost. He's lost like him, who he's always been. Is that making kind of sense to you?
Like he now became someone different?
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I feel like he's very ashamed of who he's become. I even if he doesn't show it on the outside, I really believe that he feels it on the inside. And I'm going to tell you something else. I mean, as I'm talking to you, I just keep getting the whole black magic thing. I'm not really big into the whole black magic concept. I think that that stuff only works on people who are weak-minded at the moment and stuff like that. And I think that's what's going on with him. I think he's very weak in the head, and I think it's very drug-related. I think it's more than one person messing with him, too. So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
I also believe that if you can somehow get to see him, it might trigger something in him, and I really believe he needs to be saved. I don't think anybody's going to be able to do it besides you. I don't want to put like that kind of crazy pressure on you, but I just feel like you're the one that's going to save him, all right?
Okay.
I think that if you can get that meeting with him, you honestly can trigger something in him to start to work on the healing process. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think you're going to need to set boundaries and don't compromise even if you're pressured. I also think that you're so wrapped up in his life that you're forgetting to live yours a little bit, okay? I don't like saying that to you because obviously when I talk to you, I get the feeling you're like this really, really sweet person and you do want him back, okay? I feel like he's very insecure, and whether you believe it or not, he feels like he's a failure in one aspect or another. I'm not exactly sure where the whole failure part is coming into, but I feel like he had a lot of pressure on him, and he just didn't know how to handle it.
Makes sense.
He couldn't handle the pressures in his life at the moment, okay? And I feel like he's emotionally shut down, completely shut down emotionally. I think he's so controlled by somebody that he has no idea who he is. And I think he wants to be found. I think that he's scared to make a first step. I think he doesn't know how to make that first step. You know what? I feel like there's like a demon of confusion connected with him. And when I say demon, I don't mean like a physical demon. I think the demons are inside. They're self-imposed demons. And you know, I put something on Facebook as a status one day, and it said, "Monsters are real and ghosts are too. They live inside of us, and sometimes they win." And right now, I feel like those monsters are winning. And he's just so stuck in the place that he's in that he doesn't know. I feel like he wants to run. He wants to hide, but he doesn't know how. And actually, he's scared to. And I don't think scared has ever been a part of who he's been in his life, but it is now.
Okay.
And he just doesn't know how to handle it. I mean, does that make any sense to you, what I'm saying? So I know that I'm on the right track.
It does make sense to me, very much so.
Okay.
He's
been
very strong for many years.
Right. And now he's not.
And now he's a different person. He
right.
seems to be very weak.
Right. Well, first of all, the whole weak thing is coming in with drug use, okay? The drugs just destroy things. They destroy
right.
relationships.
But if I might add, we discussed this last week about the whole inviting negative.
Right.
And we all know people like this. I mean,
right.
I myself, no one's of any, you know,
right.
excuse from this. So the whole drug use invites the whole negativity
absolutely.
Into our lives. It actually just opens the door to weakness and all of those things that really follow.
Right. You know what? I want to say something. I really believe heavily in St. Michael. I think you need to surround yourself with St. Michael. Talk to him. St. Michael is a protector. When I do my space clearing and my exorcisms and stuff like that, I always call on St. Michael and his carrying angels to come and surround me with their golden light and whatnot. Now, I don't know how much you believe in as pertaining to that, but if I were you, I would call on St. Michael to help you, okay, to bring you that energy that you need. And I'm also going to tell you to call on Archangel Raphael, because Archangel Raphael is the great healer.
Okay.
I believe your husband needs the healing.
Okay.
Well, so of course, so do, yeah, and so do you. But so call on Archangel Raphael and ask him to send you and your husband healing. And listen, I'm not going to say that it's going to work. I think it's going to be very hard on your part. Okay, I think that eventually he can come home.
Okay.
But just remember one thing. He did leave, and there was a reason why he left. And you guys, whether you or him want to admit that there were problems, you have to work on the reasons why he left. Now, I think the drugs had a huge part in that. I think that the drugs started before he left. Okay, then it got to the point where he couldn't control it anymore and somebody else was controlling him. Okay, that's what needs to be addressed. And I think it's not going to be just something that you two can address by yourselves, but he's going to need help. He's absolutely going to need help. Otherwise, it'll never, ever work. If he comes back, he needs help. And I think you're going to be a big part of that. So I just got to say one more thing that
sure.
that's come to me. Making sense to you? I don't want to feel like you feel like I'm overstepping my boundaries in what I'm saying to you.
No, you're actually not overstepping any boundaries.
Okay. Because there's one thing that's coming into me that's very, very disturbing to me.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure before I tell you what I want to say. Can I tell you anything?
You could tell me anything.
Okay. I think it's very important. The next 2 years of your husband's life are very, very important, because I see darkness coming, and when I say darkness, I don't know exactly what type of drugs he's doing, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I do, you know, but I don't. But
okay.
I know that he is doing drugs, and if he doesn't get help, I really think that within the next 2 years there's going to be a major heart issue with him, and it can lead to something very, very bad. I'll leave it at that. You know, I don't want to go deeper into that, but I just see like a major attack on his heart within the next 2 years unless he gets help. And I mean, I'm feeling it very strong, I have to tell you.
Okay.
So you take that information and use it any way you feel you need to. I think that you need to be the strong one, because he's forgotten how to be.
Okay.
And I think you can. I mean, I get the feeling that you absolutely can, but you have to remember to also live your life in the process, because don't forget who you are while you're trying to find him. You know, remember who you are.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's all I have to say to you, unless you have anything else you want to ask me.
Well, the people around him that are very controlling, that he's surrounding himself with,
right?
How much power do they have over him, since he's vulnerable?
I'm a complete. I think 100%. I think he's a shell of who he was. I don't think he has any say in anything. I think at times when he wants to kind of be who he used to be, they shoot him right down. I feel like he's a puppet on strings right now, and they call all the shots, and it's two of them. It's two women, two older women, and they are like the puppet masters, and he is the puppet. I mean, it's horrible for me to talk like that, but I mean, I see it clear as day.
Okay, now the two women, have they been two people that have been they've known each other, and maybe they had
absolutely.
A little bit of a conversation?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one is worse than the other. I think the one that he's with, right now, is the lesser of two evils.
Okay.
But she's evil nonetheless.
Okay. And the one that's a little bit older than the one that he's with, they're both older,
yeah.
But the one that's a little bit older, how's her health?
I'll tell you what, I see, actually, not great. I also see bad things coming to her, too. I'm seeing head trauma with her.
Okay.
I'm seeing head trauma due to some type of crash, maybe with a car. I don't know. I don't know what else to say on that. But
okay.
I'm pretty confident when I say that, though.
Okay. And he has someone that he's close to, let's say a brother.
Right.
Does the brother have any influence also over him? Or is he
I think some, but not but not to the point that, of the two women. Not even close, actually.
Okay.
Not even close.
And does this person that I'm married to, James, does he still know he loves me? Maybe when he goes to sleep or when he wakes up? Or does the drug, you know?
I do think he knows that he loves you. I think he is scared to show you now. I think he feels that he is screwed up so badly that he just doesn't know who or what he is anymore. I actually think that he's been around your home again.
Okay.
I actually think he's been around your home. I don't think he's stopped, but I think he's passed and it's gone through his head, this is where I need to be. Why aren't I not here? Well, you know, what am I doing? I think that's something that's been going through his mind, you know, often, actually.
It's an interesting concept because it goes along the lines of the whole drug use and not being in your sound mind. And I would be the first to say, no, this person isn't doing that. But it would be interesting to me that, you know what, they're so weak as a person that they would actually be traveling around and think, I want to stop, but I can't, and for so many reasons.
Right.
So,
what else,
a weakness.
What else you need to remember is, earlier in this reading, what I told you was he has a demon of confusion in him. And
yeah.
That goes right into what's going on, him being very confused about what he wants. I mean, I think he knows what he wants, but he doesn't know how to go about getting it anymore. So
okay.
Just something to think about. I think that there is a chance of things getting to the point where you might be able to make it better. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I think it can. And I think you would have to be the catalyst in making that happen.
Okay. And
but wait one second.
Yes,
right,
Stephanie.
So in terms of longevity, even if this guy came back and she decided she's going to help him, Chris, I'd be interested to hear your insight to then what?
Well, then there's going to have to be therapy, and he's going to have to be...
I mean, this is serious topics. This is,
absolutely.
You know, many people go through things like this. It's very, I'd say, traumatizing. And
right. Well, just all I'm going to say is, if you get to the point where you guys can work on it, you need to be very aware of the reasons why these things have happened and what to do to, you know, to fix it and to never make it happen again. I think therapy is going to be a very big part of his life.
So third party? Or
absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm talking about going to see a psychiatrist or something.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's, why I mean, that's what I said.
Very important, otherwise it'll never work. It'll never work.
Yeah.
And if you remember earlier in the reading, I said something like, you know, set boundaries and don't compromise even if you're pressured. Do you remember me saying that?
Yes, I've written it down.
That goes, now I'm talking about, like, if you guys can get back together, the whole therapy thing, because he's not going to want to do it, but you need to set that boundary. You need to not compromise that fact. That is a constant if you guys get back together. You're going to need it. And there is no discussion on that. That's where you've got to put your foot down and, you know, be the rock of the relationship.
Right, however, you get to that road, you know, you cross
gotta,
that bridge
you
as
get
you get
to that
there.
Road, absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
So, Marie, hopefully this was insightful. And
yes.
We'll speak to you again.
Yes, I'll be calling the show again. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're very welcome. I hope I was helpful.
Oh,
okay,
definitely.
We'll
very helpful. Have a great day.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good luck, okay?
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was an interesting call.
Yeah, you know, I felt very connected to her, and the reading actually came very
yeah,
easy.
So do I. So do I, actually, listening to her. So let's
mm-hmm.
just rewind to where we were.
Let's talk exorcism.
All right. Don't get so excited. Last week, we had a show, and we discussed the space clearing, and we spoke of negative spirits and whatnot. Earlier tonight, we talked about exactly the house we
right.
visited, things that occurred,
right.
and we do have the homeowners on the line,
right.
as well as people that came with us to do the exorcism.
Right.
And I'd like to bring, I'm going to bring the homeowners on the line first, then I'm going to bring the people that also...
Should we get into how I got into exorcism or just...
Well, let's speak of that, and then we'll bring the homeowners.
About 4 years ago, Spirit came to me and told me that I was going to embark on a new journey of my whole psychic, medium, channeling, spiritual life. And they actually told me that I was going to be doing exorcisms. I was like, what? Like, you mean like Linda Blair, Reagan, exorcist, head spinning, green vomit, bitten? I said, that's what I'm going to be doing? They were like, yeah. Pretty much like, yeah, absolutely, that's what you're going to be doing. I'm like, well, why me? And they basically told me that I had some type of makeup where I would be able to handle this type of stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, I grew up very athletic, a lot of scholarships for baseball and football and whatnot. I was very athletic, very determined, very competitive person. And I said, you know what? I guess that's the makeup that they're talking about. And then they taught me how to do exorcism. And, I mean, we don't need to get so much into how I do it, but let's get into the story.
All right, so today you've done how many?
Well, Monday was my 63rd.
Okay.
And I've traveled all over the United States and other countries to do exorcisms.
Okay, I'm going
to
bring the homeowners on the line. Hello? Jason, Andrea, are you there?
Hello?
Stephanie. Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you? I'm here with Andrea. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay, but more importantly, how are you guys doing?
Man, if it wasn't for you two, I don't know what we would be doing.
Well, it wasn't just us two. We had other people there.
And we're going to bring them on the line, but we want to talk to you about, like...
What happened?
No, well, before the night.
I want to rewind, you know, so your listeners could get a grasp on exactly what was going on in our lives. I had met Andrea about 8 months ago, you know, started getting heavy into our relationship about two and a half months after that. So we're rewinding back about 6 months when I had moved into her home. She always had some kind of... you know, feeling uncomfortable, feeling, seeing shadows, but nothing too threatening. Things that she put to the back of her mind as maybe paranoia. At the time when, you know, 6 months ago, you know, we were doing our little thing drug-wise, and we put it off sort of as paranoia. And I'm like, this can't be happening. You know, we were seeing shadows. We were hearing things. I kept feeling like, at nighttime, someone was sitting on my chest. I would walk out front to someone sitting on my chest. I can't breathe. I go out front to smoke a cigarette. Go figure. But I would feel much better. And
okay.
Then we had called you guys in the first time, and you know, you as soon as you walked in, you know, we had discussed, you know, the uncomfortable feelings in the house. And you just blew our mind when you walked, like, directly to the corner of the house where we were getting this foul odor and this uncomfortable feeling. So
right.
Just your reactions right there, you know, we both looked at each other and without saying too much in words, communicated through looks as, you know, this guy really knows what he's doing. So we had brought you guys in the first time. And you had brought it to our knowledge of, you know, that there was many of spirits, that it may be a gateway. You know, you were getting a feeling of maybe it was a gateway towards, you know, spirits coming and going, you know, in and out. So we were a little, you know, nervous, of course. And at that time, you said that there was one very major threatening spirit that didn't like, that was really into my girlfriend, was really into Andrea, and felt that I was sort of a threat that would, you know, I'm a wedge in between him and her. And,
right.
But many, many other spirits were also, you know, present, but at that time, unharmful. So you had did the first exorcism for us, for this evil spirit. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, when it just, when you channeled that spirit, how I've never seen anything like, you know, I'm a straight up guy. I'm no angel. I'm not a slouch. I'm not trying to come off as one of these tough guys but nothing really phases me. But when your whole body actually like levitated off the ground and lunged at me while you had this spirit in you, It was nothing like I've ever seen before. It wasn't a jump. It wasn't a run. It wasn't a leap. It was a, like, it's so hard to explain. And thank God for your team, you know, your team that was pressure points and stuff. And, you know, we had gotten rid of that spirit. And I want to rewind, because I had told you the other day, you know, we held back some information on you guys the other day, the second one.
You did.
Well, I had told you the other day, the first spirit that you exorcised for us was half wolf, half man. And that's what you said. After you cleared the house of the first one, we were cleaning up the house because it was a wreck after all the wrestling and all that stuff. And we found in the middle of our hallway, we got a throw rug, and on that throw rug, we found dirt, a topsoil type of dirt. And the grounds around our home, I venture out frequently. I take my walks in the morning. I ride my mountain bike. And I started to look at the dirt the next day around our home and in the area, and we're basically on clay. So unless you actually go to like a garden center and buy this top, it was topsoil like I've never seen before.
Black
topsoil in the middle of our rug where you released this spirit. So it was just like that just blew our mind. So we have called you.
Let's fast forward it to now.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, if you don't mind. There were a few people who participated in this exorcism that night, Jason. Their names are Johnny, and there's Ed, and there's also Alex, who's part of the team.
Right.
I'd actually like to bring...
Who's the big guy?
I'd like to bring them on the line with us. And if everyone would be courteous and take their time to speak, I'm going to bring everybody on the line at the same time. So here's Alex. And I'm going to bring Ed, and I'll also bring Johnny, and we're all on the line. Johnny?
Yes, hello.
Are you there? Okay. Ed, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and Alex, are you there?
Nanu, nanu.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I just want to say one thing. Let us ask the questions, because it's very hard with all of us on the phone.
There's too many of us participating in this conversation, although everyone's input is appreciated and relevant here.
Right.
And we have also Jason, the homeowner, on the line as well. So we just want to take it back to the night of the exorcism, which if you look online on www.secondsightnyc.webs.com and you look at the exorcism 11-8-10, I think is the naming convention I use.
Right.
You'll see the photos that correspond to the conversation we're having right now.
You know what I think we should do before we even get into the conversation? Because these guys haven't even really heard the EVPs yet.
All right, I can play those
as
well.
We want to play three EVPs. One of them, the first one is going to say get out, and it's right at the end. And then the other two are like these primal evil screams that we got on our EVP recorder. So, Stephanie, why don't you just explain what an EVP is?
So their voice is detected in electronic devices that couldn't currently be explained by physical principles. The voices typically constitute short utterances of a few words. They're in direct response to questions or comments or occurrences about the environment. These involve virtually like every known technology that's capable of supporting a human device. EVPs are technically recorded using audio recording devices or audio recording computer software. In their basic form, EVPs are not heard at the time that they're recorded, but upon playback, and which we have captured in this time.
So why don't we play the first one where it says, and you got to listen, it's at the very end, you'll hear, get out.
All right, and these were at the
house. These were at the house.
Okay.
Yeah, did you hear that at the end?
It's a get out.
And then we had the short scream. And then we had the long scream.
Thank you.
Now, what you people have to
understand. They didn't want us there.
Yeah,
that's
they
just.
Sure. What you have to understand is we heard none of that until we played it back. So it was pretty eye opening when we heard it. We knew we were dealing with something otherworldly there.
Or something that did not like us there.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
So why don't we talk to Alex first? Because Alex, Alex, a quick recap of how we met and how you got to get into this with us.
Well, I've always been interested in doing something with the paranormal because in the house that we purchased about 5 years ago, we had, you know, activity, but nothing malevolent, nothing like physical, nothing we felt threatened by. Then we were watching a show I always watch called on a local Staten Island station, and you were on. I was like, wow, you talked about all the things you did, and the last thing you spoke about was exorcisms and house clearings. Like, wow, you know, interesting guy. You have the guy next door persona. Okay, a couple days later go by, and I get scratched when I was awake by a spirit. I felt the presence in the room. It opened the door. I felt the burning of my hand, on my arm, actually. I rub it. It felt like a bump. I turned the light on. I was like, oh, my God, I was scratched. The next day, my son wakes up with scratches all over his back. So I know the show that I watched would be repeated 2 weeks later, so I got your number, and you came to my house and did an exorcism.
And we've been friends ever since. And now you are on my paranormal team. You're my lead investigator, and you actually took lead in your first exorcism this Monday. And I have to say, I want to go on record for saying this, you did a phenomenal job, as did Johnny Bianco and Ed.
And I concur.
And Stephanie obviously did a great job. She's been doing this with me for some time now. What stands out in your mind from that night, Alex?
Well, one thing, it was definitely a spirit was probably part canine or wolf because you were howling. And after you howled, you let off like a cough, like you were choking, and you spit out a clump of black hair.
I know. I took
mouth.
A photo.
That was
if
disgusting.
If you look on the photo, I have two disturbing photos, one of which is Chris actually spitting it out and having a disgusted look on his face with it in his hand. And then I actually, because I'm disturbed, took a photo of the hair itself.
And it was like a clump of hair. It was disgusting.
Yeah, I took both those photos. So on the site, if you take a look there, you'll see those as well. It's just strange stuff, and we probably should put a description on the site for it.
Yeah, we will.
But those are two photos which pretty much now speak for themselves.
And there are some half-nude photos of me taking my clothes off.
I know. I don't know what that's about. Alex, we've experienced this now a few times, right?
Yep, stripper slash exorcist.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else, Alex? What else stands out in your mind?
Well, another thing that really stood out to me, because when you came to my house to do exorcism the first time, at the end when the spirit was about to give up, it stopped and asked for forgiveness. And when we told you that, well, I told you that, you said you'd never had that occur before. Well,
right.
Go Monday, we started calling St. Michael, and then the spirit was like, stop, stop, stop. I'm like, what? I have to ask for forgiveness. So he wanted to bring over the homeowners, to hold their hands, but meanwhile,
yeah,
the whole
night. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I agree. That's pretty interesting. Alex, I don't mean to be rude. I just want to. There's Johnny's on the line and Ed's on the line, and they also participated in that moment. And I'm curious, Johnny, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Alex is talking about at the moment at which the homeowners were brought over because what was his name?
Henry
wanted forgiveness.
Spirit.
Yes,
I'd like to. You had your Megadeth shirt on. You were ready for. What was your thought in that?
It was exciting. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had. But we weren't there for that. We were there to protect this lovely couple, and that was my main objective through the night, and to listen to Mr. Giggles and just do as he directed me to.
So what was your thought pattern as he was asking for forgiveness?
Yes, he was.
So what were you thinking at that moment? Were you...
Did you believe him? Did you believe him when
Because I have to say, even I'm always a skeptic person that says, Oh, this guy's going to lash out in a second.
You know what I got to say? That's where Alex, I think, did his best job of the night, knowing that, you know what?
I agree with that.
You know, he made the right decision to bring the couple over.
I wouldn't have brought them over. I would have definitely not have brought them over.
Well, he, you know what? That's why he took the lead that night, and he made the absolute right decision. Because, as you know, when I do exorcisms, a lot of times the spirits lie.
Well, that's
and
what I know.
He saw something in my eyes that said that, you know what, the spirit is really ready to pass, and he made the right call. So Johnny, now, when let me ask you, when I was actually passing spirit to the light,
yes,
what was going through your mind?
I felt that he was really, truly ready for peace for the first time in his whole existence as spirit and beyond. I really felt that.
I have to agree with that 100%.
At first, I was skeptical, as was Stephanie, when he wanted the couple to come over. I was a little afraid at first, but it all worked out, and Alex did the right thing, and it was really a peaceful, beautiful night. It ended peacefully and beautifully,
and
my prayers go out
to
everyone.
We had the pictures to document exactly what was going on. I had the orbs all over you at certain time periods. I had them on your person. I had them above you. It really tells a picture. Like, it really tells a story, all the pictures. If you look at them in chronological order, it's fantastic because they're here. They're there. They're above. They're beyond. And they're larger than life in some pictures. And it speaks of,
you know, story. I just want to say, for those of you who have never seen me before, I'm not a little guy. You know, I'm 5'9", I'm 250 pounds, I'm a big, thick kind of guy, and you'll actually see me doing a complete back bend, like in a bridge.
I never saw those moves before.
Right, and for those of you who don't know, Stephanie is my girlfriend, and she's never seen those moves, so you'll actually see me do a complete bridge, which is completely unlike me.
We also have Ed on the line. Ed, are you there? Hello? I thought
Ed
gone.
Ed,
here.
Are you there? Oh, sorry, I had you on mute. Apologize.
So
we just spoke of the evening. You were there as well. We were just curious. Like, do you have?
Well, this was Ed's first encounter with exorcism.
Right.
He came to my psychic development class 2 weeks earlier. I just had a feeling that he would be. You know, he was ready for this. I don't know why I thought that. You know, psychically, I just felt, you know what, this guy is going to be ready for something like this. And I have to say, Ed, I was right. I think you did a phenomenal job that night, along with Johnny Bianco and Alex and Stephanie. I think you did a great job. Now, I want to know, what was your main purpose there? What exactly were you doing?
What was I doing there, Chris? I was standing there next to Alex. And what I was doing, I don't know, I can't explain. I just felt that I needed to be there. I needed to experience this. For the longest time, I've always had intuition, and I just felt that I needed to be there. I just can't, you know, when I connected with you the first time, Chris, we just connected like we knew each other forever.
Right.
And I felt that connection with you, and I felt that I had to be a part of this for some reason. I just felt that I had to. I got to tell you, though, Chris, what an experience that I've had. The first thing I did when I came in there is I told Alex I feel a pressure on my chest.
Right. Then that's common, just so you know. Very common when you're getting ready to do exorcism.
Yeah, and I had no idea what it was. I thought I was having a mild heart attack, but I wasn't. And then Stephanie took pictures of me. The next thing I saw was an orb on my chest.
Right.
Exactly the same place I was having the pitch, you know, where I was having the pain.
Right. Well, that's very common. And I want to say, now for those of you who don't know how I do exorcism, I actually take the spirit into me, and I actually become the spirit. And a lot of times the spirit becomes very violent and says things that I obviously normally wouldn't say. I called some people that night some very nasty things.
You cursed me out, that's
yeah,
for sure.
I think I said, see you next Tuesday or something like
yeah,
that.
Something.
And I spit on a few
just
people.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. And I spit on a few people, which I apologize for.
I was one.
Now, Ed, what was going through your mind when you saw me actually taking that spirit in and becoming something that I am absolutely not?
Wow, it was really mind-boggling, Chris. I got to tell you, what was on my mind at the time was, wow, this is amazing. This is like, I mean, I can't even begin to explain what was on my mind because it was just like phenomenal. I was so astonished what was going on. I was worried about you when you started choking on your tongue. Your tongue started going in the back of your throat. I mean, I was saying, oh, my God, this is really happening, you know?
And yeah.
This was like my answers for my whole life, you know. It was like, I was like, incredible. This is it. I mean, look at this really happening. I was worried about your well-being, if you want to know the truth. I was really worried about you, and I stood there, and I stood there watching you with Alex and Mr. Bianco, and then we just, I don't know, Chris, it was mind-boggling. I can't even explain. What was going through my head was wow. You know what I mean? Like, totally
right.
Wow.
Well, let me, now, Mr. Homeowner, are you still there?
I think I put him on hold.
Did
or...
you? Because I wanted to ask.
Jason, are you with us?
Yes,
Jason?
We are.
Okay.
Yes, we're
both
here.
Let's get towards the end of the night, okay? What was going through your heads as this whole night was unfolding? Because, I mean... Go ahead.
I wanted to say, like, if you recall, when we first pulled up to the house and had met outside, because, you know, we were so shook over this, we didn't spend a week at home until you could get there.
Right.
Andrea went to put the keys in the door to open the door, and she knew clearly that all the locks were turning open, but somehow, some way, they kept locking themselves closed, and she had handed the keys over to Stephanie. Which sort of didn't want to let us in because it knew you were there.
Right.
And what was going through my
mind. But I
mind,
got us in because I'm determined.
Got in, and it took a lot of persuading Andrea to walk in the doors because she was just so petrified. She was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And, you know, I really like to thank you, you know, for resolving this problem because... You know, she was really about to go to Bellevue. So what was on my mind?
I saw that in her. I know she was petrified, and I got to say, you know, on behalf of myself and the rest of my team, we were very, very happy to be able to help you.
Thank you for that. So,
you know, we owe you our lives, honestly. What was going through my mind was, number one, that the house is going to get destroyed because that's, you know, it was so violent and just so forceful. And thanks for Ed. I mean, as well as everyone else, I'm not taking credit away from any of your team, but, you know, Ed's a big strap and fellow. And I was basically looking to stay behind him because he was the only blockage from this spirit attacking myself. And, I mean, he did a phenomenal job, all of you guys. I mean, just holding it down. We had to clear all the blunt objects that are on the end table, the heavy candles, the lights, because...
But at some point, he was under the coffee table. This is a crazy scene, and the pictures document this as well. I'm a photographer. I take photos of every moment. So I'll take a photo of the moment that nothing's happening, and then all of a sudden you see a fantastic orb. Then I take the moment after that. So you see in chronological order all the photos that I've taken, and it could be hundreds. I'm pretty much, if you put them in fast speed, it could be a video because I'm taking them really as it occurs. And I have you under a coffee table.
Alex, what were you thinking when that happened?
Well, I was like, how did you dive under there? Because like you said, you're a big guy, and if there was 3 feet of space
let's take it easy with the big comment, first of all.
Well, let's call it what it is.
and then I sat on your leg to get you from going any further, and I'm asking everybody, what is he doing down there? What is he doing down there? Because, you know, I want to make sure you're okay. We had to pull the table off you and then throw you back on the couch. But that was a pretty good move, buddy.
Another move Stephanie hasn't experienced yet, I might add.
Well, I have after that night. Let's not talk about this.
You're right.
So we're grateful for Ed and Johnny and Alex to come and talk about this evening. It was such an exciting event.
Yeah, I got to say, you guys did a great job on the show tonight. I want to thank you guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
Is there anything anybody else wants to say?
Yes, Chris. There is, actually. There was one point where it seemed, Chris, you were completely yourself. And
right.
Your whole body before that turned purple. And you asked for water. I ran to the water, you know, Alex pointed, I got. And I came right back in that split second. You were him once again, and I swear to God, I thought all of us were in for the longest night of our lives.
The only thing I could say is that I've done exorcisms with Chris before, and I know the false persona a spirit may take to convince you that it's the person again, and you could feel comfortable, and you could take your guard down. I don't know if you realize, or if anybody did, there was never a second that I said, oh, I'm so comfortable, he's back, and whatever. I stayed away and took the photos, but there's not many circumstances that I said, oh, it's him, let's just, I'm always on my guard that it just might not be, and the spirit is going to convince you otherwise or make you take your guard down. And so I understand what you're saying, Johnny, because completely he did it. He fooled us, and then it was not Chris.
No, it was very scary, but exciting.
Well, all right, so listen, guys, thanks for calling us, and thanks for participating in our show. We're going to take some more callers. We're just going to wrap up the night.
And I just want to say, guys, you guys did a phenomenal job, and I just want to thank you guys one more time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you,
Alex.
Chris.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Johnny.
Have a good night, everybody.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, so we are going to take another caller, and I know you have another email reading, and we don't have much time. We have like 3 minutes left, which our shows are getting that we're going to need 2 hours over time.
I think so.
So we're going to take Vinny. We spoke with him earlier. He happened to be on the line before the show started, and we had a little convo with him. So, Vinny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing, Vinny? Now talk to
right. We promised we'd take him,
yeah.
And here you are.
Sure.
We have maybe a minute and a half.
I would like to know if you see any possibility of me going to Thailand anytime soon and possibly working there.
Yeah, well, I just got to take this. I mentioned it to you earlier, and I don't know if it means anything to you, but and this might sound absolutely crazy to you and the people listening, but I actually see you as a monk.
Right.
I don't know why I get that vision, but, I mean, I get it very clearly. Does that mean anything to you?
Right. Yeah, I was a monk before.
I don't tell people,
but since you know already.
Oh my God! All right. Well, yeah. The bottom line is, I do see you getting with your girlfriend. Absolutely. And I don't see it being here. I see it being you traveling to be with your girlfriend. I see you working. I don't know exactly what you're going to be doing. Probably something with your hands. And I just see you going on a long trip. So yeah, I have to say absolutely yes.
The time frame on that?
You have.
I would say within the next 6 months.
Within the next 6 months.
And when I say 6 months, it's usually earlier than that, so just so you know.
Right. And just real quick, is it something work with her family, or it's like in the career that I'm doing now, or it's going towards something different, like with her family?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both, actually. How about that? I think it's going to be something with her family and something that you're doing right now. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. Keep your options open, absolutely, and I think things are going to work out for you then.
All right.
Okay, thanks for calling us. We really appreciate it. And let us know how things happen. You know, let us know how it pans out, all right?
Sure, I will. Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Thanks, Vinny. Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Good night. So, Chris, this was an interesting night.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we could have really used another hour tonight.
That was easily.
I mean, we have people that we can give readings to. I mean,
can't do it all. Rome wasn't built in a day.
I don't have time for another email reading.
I don't do. Okay. We're going to have to do that next show, but I do know you have a message for the day.
I like giving a message of the day now, and this is it. If you want to know the past, look at yourself in the present, because that's the past effect. If you want to know your future, then look at yourself in the present, because that's the cause of the future. Embrace every moment of every day, the good moments, the bad moments, the slow and busy, the happy and sad. All of these things happen to us. All these things that happen to us define us as individuals, and how we handle them truly defines our character.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'd just like to mention we'll be on next week, which will be November 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could always follow us on Blog Talk Radio. You could check out our website in the interim, our investigations, our photos, our CDPs. Chris.
And we're here making the unbelievable believable, and may the spirits guide you.
Thank you, and good night, folks.
Right.